Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to share a story with you from the Word that God showed me something. Because, you see, sometimes we need to know from the opposite end of things about how far we can go. Right? Because I could tell you all day, God is with you. God is for you. Go to the top. Aim for the very, very top. Don't let anything stop you. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. But then if I showed you an example of somebody who God was against, and yet he was still with them, then you'll understand probably better. Because, like, I don't know, let me tell you the story. Okay, we all know the story of King David. We all know how he became king. He was a shepherd boy. The Bible says that he used to follow the sheep. And in ancient Israel back then, the sheep used to follow the shepherd. So if you were a shepherd in ancient Israel, you weren't at the back with a dog trying to, like, rustle the... Have you seen the way they try and herd the sheep into, like, dipping or into the lorries for the abattoir or anything like that? That wasn't the case back in ancient Israel. The sheep, for some reason, the sheep had developed a trust in the shepherd to follow the shepherd, and the shepherd would lead them by still waters. He would give them fresh grass, and that's where Psalm 23 came from, right? Now, David was different. The Bible says that God took him from following the sheep. So the sheep used to basically, I don't know, was he the world's first hippie or something, but like the sheep would just go, and then David would follow the sheep. He'd have some sort of guitar and he'd be worshiping God, and that's where a lot of the Psalms came from. And the Bible says that God took him from following the sheep into warfare. And he took the head of Goliath. We all know that story. And then his spiritual father, Saul, wanted to kill him, was hunting through the wilderness, etc. And, it was going to be curtains for David. But God kept on growing him and kept on growing him, anointed him king in Hebron, then anointed him in Jerusalem. And we know how it all originated with the oil of Samuel on the head of David, etc., etc. And then David grows, and the Bible says that his kingdom grew so great that gold was considered like gravel, that silver was virtually worthless. I mean, there was like so much of this expanse through this kingdom, and David, like literally anything that David prayed for, God would give him. And he had, multiplied wives and houses and all sorts of stuff and grandeur and splendor and everything like that. And then one day, the Bible says it was in the early part of the year, in the springtime, when the kings would go out to war, that David was at home. And then suddenly he opens his eyes and he looks out on a rooftop, and here is Bathsheba. And she's out there starkers and having a bath and everything like that, and it's causing a real problem. And David sees her, and because of the things going on in his life, in his heart, he says, I want her. I don't care who she is. I want her. And he pursues her. He finds out that it's one of his most trusted men's wives. And this guy loves and trusts David so much that he won't sleep with his wife after or before battle or anything like that. That he is just his... absolutely as dedicated and as loyal a man as you can find. And David puts him right in the front of the battle, and he tells his guys, he says, when the heat of the battle rages, he says, I want you to withdraw. Now that's a death sentence on anyone. Really, really horrible. And he ends up, he's slept with Bathsheba, she's pregnant, Uriah is murdered, and in before the eyes of God, he has turned from a champion king to an adulterer and a murderer. And Nathan the prophet picks this up in the realm of the spirit. And he goes to David and he tells him concerning this picture. He said, there was a man who had just a little sheep. And there was another man who had loads of sheep. And this guy, he looked at the sheep that this one man had. And he killed the man and he took the sheep. And David stands up and says, this man should die. And then Nathan says, sunshine, you are the man. And God then prophesies through Nathan. He says, I took you from following the sheep. I took you and I exalted your kingdom more so than any other kingdom that there could be. And yet he says, you've treated me this way. He says, so what you've done behind the back of the people, I will do to you openly. There'll be warfare and the sword shall not depart from your house. Hey! This is God. What was he saying? I was for you. Now, sunshine, I'm against you. I mean, this is big medicine, man. This ain't some little kind of thing, you know. This is turbulent times, especially when everything you got from God is now under question. Because the one who gave it to you is saying, sunshine, I gave all this to you, and now you're going to suffer. You did this in secret. I'm going to make sure this is done to you openly. And an issue happens with one of his daughters, Tamar, who then becomes sexually assaulted and raped by one of his sons, Absalom. And Absalom, who's the other son, says, "Look, you've not dealt with Ammon correctly. I'm going to take things into my own hands." And he starts this plot from behind the scenes, and he starts working his way up. And the Bible says that the plot took years and years to hatch. And then Absalom finds his moment, and suddenly there's a trigger, and they all come out. On Absalom's side, and David, the kingdom is torn from David in a real quick period of time. I mean, you think the mafia is bad? Just read your Bible. It's unreal, some of it. And so David then, he has to flee for his life. His son is pursuing him. A lot of the kingdom of Israel that God has blessed through David has now turned on David and is against him. And we reach this strategic point in 2 Samuel 15. Now, the reason I've told you all this is that I want you to see that if God could... Anyway, let's read the story first. Verse number 30 of 2 Samuel 15. And David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives. Now, Let me say, the Mount of Olives, from where they are, from bottom to top, is probably not more than 20 minutes, half an hour's walk. Mountains in Israel aren't that big. You can climb them like pretty, pretty quick. It's not that much. They're more like hills. And he went up the Mount of Olives and wept as he went. And his head was covered, and he walked barefoot. Now, the reason this has happened is that his kingdom has just been taken from him. Absalom is pursuing him, and he thinks the whole thing is over. Then all the people who were with him each covered his head and went up weeping as they went. Now, someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Let me stop right there and tell you a bit about Ahithophel. The Bible says that Ahithophel's counsel, he was like, have you ever seen The Godfather? Do you remember the movie The Godfather? He's like Robert Duvall. He's the consigliere. He's like the one word from Ahithophel concerning strategic matters and is done. That's what Ahithophel was like. He was the kind of guy, I don't know if you've ever been in situations where you've not known which way to go, and you call one person and somehow they always got that right thing to say. He's like the Wafapi of the kingdom of Israel. That's what he was like, right? And he says, Ahithophel was like this kind of person. The Bible says itself that his counsel was like the counsel of God. And somebody comes to David. Now, as if the news couldn't be bad enough, right? Absalom has taken the kingdom. David is on the run. And this guy Ahithophel is now, he says, someone told David saying Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. But watch this. David didn't stop there. David prayed. Now, do you remember I was telling you that from bottom to top, climbing the Mount of Olives is like 20 minutes, half an hour. David is weeping as he goes up this mountain, and he's saying, the whole thing is lost. I don't know what to do next. And David prayed. He says, O Lord, I pray, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolishness. It happened as David was coming to the summit where God was worshipped, that behold, Hushai the Archite met him with his coat torn and dust on his head. David said to him, if you pass over with me, then you'll be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I've been with your father's servant in the time past, so now I will be your servant. Then you can thwart the counsel of Ahithophel for me. Now, here's the point I want to make, right? You've got David walking up this hill. It takes about half an hour to get from bottom to top, okay? Probably about halfway up, somebody comes to him with this news that this guy Ahithophel has come alongside Absalom, and dude, you thought you were finished before. Now you are finished with a capital F. In fact, they're writing your gravestone, your eulogy, and your epitaph now because Ahithophel has attached himself to your worst enemy, who is your son Absalom. David prays, carries on further up the hill, and this guy Hushai comes, right? Hushai says, David, listen, I can help you. I'll be with you here. David says to him, no. He says, go and join yourself to Absalom so that you can effectively thwart the counsel of Ahithophel, right? Now, this is the point I'm making. God is against David. He's against him. But how long did it take for God to answer David's prayer even when he was against him? 10 minutes. Because you read the story, you flip a few further pages on, and Ahithophel says to Absalom, let's go up. Let's get David now. He's weak. He's weary. He's in the wilderness. He's short of food. He's short of this. He's short of that. He's short of the other. Hushai stands up and says, no, Absalom, these guys are warriors. They're the SAS. Don't touch them. They'll be in the wilderness. They'll be starving for 5 days and they'll still whip you. Wait until we can regather, right? What happens to Ahithophel as a result? Ahithophel realizes that his counsel to Absalom has been voided, and he goes home, he sets his house in order, and he hangs himself. Where did that originate? It originated in a prayer. And 10 minutes after that prayer, God has answered by sending Hushai into the camp of Absalom to thwart the counsel of Ahithophel. Now, this is the point, right? If God can still be backing you, when you've committed adultery, for the purposes of illustration, this isn't a prophecy. Thank God, Kwesi, I know you well, sir. Praise God for your life. When you've committed adultery, when you've committed murder, and when you've effectively profaned virtually everything that God has given you, that you can still pray to the Lord, and 10 minutes later, the Lord can still answer your prayers. Any adulterer? No, okay, we won't. Okay, but this is the point I'm making. If God can do that, how much more can he do for people who burn with his love, who burn with his power, who burn with his fire, who burn? Where's the top for you? Where is the top? Show me the top. Show me the top. Show me the top. There is no top. There is no top. Create your own top. And know that God is with you. Know that God is backing you. When it comes to sitting in those business deals or in those ministry arrangements or in those things that you just never thought, you know, some of you are living the dream already in terms of, wow, I never thought that I could get this far in life. I never thought that I could get this far in business. I never thought that I could get this far in ministry. I never thought that I could get this far in family. I think we've got the first functional family in the history of our two families. Right? That's a breakthrough. I never thought I could get this far in marriage. You may be the only couple in your entire family's history that's still married after X number of years. But don't stop there. Where's the top? What if I told you there is no top? If God has done this for a guy that God himself said, I've turned myself against you. You did this to me in secret, but now I'm going to do this to you openly. But God can still, in his wrath, what does the Bible say? In your wrath, remember mercy. How much more can God do for us? Born again. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, on fire with the love of God Almighty himself. May you create your own version of the top in Jesus' mighty name. Would you stand to your feet with thank God for his word? Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you so much for the plans that you have for us. Father, your word says, call unto me and I will answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you didn't know. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we find our lane in life, in ministry, in business, in family, and all sorts of ways, Lord God, Father, I pray that you will show us, give us new dreams, new visions of what the top is like for us. Father, I thank you that when you are for us, nothing can be against us. We may encounter hiccups and hills on the way, but Lord God, they are only for our training. They're only for our development. They are only hurdles that we can say in the future that we have overcome. And I thank you, wonderful Holy Spirit, for the great things that you've got planned for us. May our testimonies shine throughout the world, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God, that just as the top is something that's unfathomable to you, Lord God, let it be so for us in the name of Jesus, so that we can create our own tops in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.